Disclaimer. The Attorney General's Office does not specifically endorse or recommend EGSI Financial or any products or services affiliated with EGSI Financial.
The biggest tip that I tell people on the romance scam. So let's say, for example, you meet someone online. The difference between someone real and someone that's a scammer is if it's someone real, you will meet them in person fairly soon. If they're not, they're going to come up with every reason in the book to stall. Well, unfortunately, my vehicle broke down. If only I had enough money. You know, I've just been really tight financially lately. These are all the other tactics, trying to get that money so that they can meet after they've developed this relationship with someone.
Is about more than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on Processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
Danielle, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're coming here on Thursday in just a couple days to go through the same thing, but we've had such a high demand. I think we're going to have over 50 people. And so we have limited space. We have so many folks who really want to understand more about some of the senior scams and everything that's out there. We thought it was really important to actually do the podcast and get it out to for those people who can't participate and make it here. So I really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Introduce you. So you are Danielle Murphy. You're with the Ohio Attorney General's Office. You're a consumer protection specialist, right? Is that correct?
A complaint specialist.
Complaint specialist. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have been with the Attorney General's Office since going all the way back to Mike DeWine's administration, if I read that correctly. So you've been doing this for a while. You're in very high demand. And so we really appreciate you being here. Why don't you give us a little background on you and how you kind of got into this niche specialty area?
So I actually have over 21 years with the Attorney General's Office. Wow. I have two tours. I started in my early 20s, back in Lee Fisher and Betty Montgomery days. And so I started as a legal secretary and then kind of left to take care of the kiddos a little bit and work part-time. And then I came back, and actually the section chief thought this position would be a good position for me. And I've been doing it over 13 years now. So really enjoy trying to help people. Unfortunately, I also hear a lot of sad stories about people getting scammed. And because I've been doing this so long, people do reach out to me as far as friends and colleagues to try to understand scams. So the biggest thing that we want to do is get out there and educate so that people don't get scammed.
So do you speak all around the state? I've seen a couple of interviews with you on TV as well. I know recently you spoke in Dayton. I mean, is that really a lot of what you do is just really education for seniors and help people understand, almost like buyer beware?
Yeah. So we travel the entire state. There's two other educators and complaint specialists that actually go out and educate. Mm-hmm. We have a dual role. And we also work complaints that have been filed from consumers against different businesses to try to get a resolution in an informal dispute resolution process. We also write educational publications that we will pass out on Thursday. I will have those publications for everyone that will be in attendance. And then also I have links that I can also send so that those that are online can also get the materials and all of the information that I'm handing out as well.
That's fantastic. I appreciate you doing that. Here's the question that I have for you. We have seen our office with our clients, we've seen significant uptick in just the last couple of years with senior scams. Are you seeing the same thing? Is that, or has it just been rampant and we're just being exposed to it more?
So seniors represent about 15% of the population, but unfortunately attract more than 30% of the reported fraud. So it's not just seniors that are getting targeted. I can tell many stories of different age groups, unfortunately. But the biggest reason that seniors are targeted is they have more assets. You know, we don't have kids at home. We're not helping raise them, paying for college and school. And also seniors have invested. And that's the biggest reason why seniors lose the most amount of money. But we're really seeing a wide variety of age groups being scammed.
So what are some of the most, we'll just say, prevalent types of scams that you're seeing right now, especially affecting seniors?
We do have the grandparent scam, which we'll be covering. I'll also be showing a 60 Minutes Overtime snippet of actual couple that was scammed with the grandparent scam. The grandparent scam, and as all of these different scams, scammers use a variety of tactics to get to us. Let me talk about those tactics first, because it does relate to many of these different scams. One main tactic they use is that they request a wire transfer, a prepaid money card, a gift card as the form of a payment. More than likely, it's a scam. The biggest form of payment that these scammers like to use is gift cards. And one of the reasons why they like requesting gift cards is once you give them the numbers off the back of that gift card, they put the information in the computer electronically, then they can pull those funds off and those funds are gone and they're hard to trace. So if anyone requests that, more than likely it's a scammer requesting those types of payments. Also cryptocurrency and Bitcoin machines. We're seeing a raise in Bitcoin machines and having individuals go and put money into those machines. But back to the grandparent scam, and I wanted to share those forms of payments that these scammers use because a lot of times we see in the grandparent scam, also another tactic is don't tell anyone. Keep this a secret. Because if you tell anyone, I'm going to get in so much trouble. So in the grandparent scam, it's, well, grandma and grandpa, I've been in an accident and I need you to send money right away. Just go get a gift card for this amount of money, but don't tell mom and dad because I'm going to be in so much trouble. Let me do it in person. So that's another tactic, keeping it a secret. The scammers look at the headlines, any kind of disaster, any kind of charitable organization that they can pretend to be. So that's the imposter scam, pretending to be somebody else, pretending to be your grandson or your granddaughter in the grandparent scam. We tell individuals, don't trust your caller ID. One of the reasons why we tell individuals that is scammers can download an app called spoofing. They can put any phone number and any business that they want to appear on caller ID. So going right with the grandparent scam, one of the stories that I'd like to tell is Diane from Lancaster called our office. She said one morning she was sitting at her kitchen table having coffee when the phone rang. So what do we do before we answer? We look to see who's calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did that. And it said it was the Columbus Police Department with the 614 area code. She immediately picked it up. Hello, Grandma? Jake, is that you? Yes, Grandma. Oh my gosh, why are you in Columbus and why are you at the police station? Well, Grandma, I skipped school today with a friend. I came to Columbus and I was in a minor accident and it's my fault. So I tell individuals, don't trust your caller ID. It's okay to tell somebody that's calling you. I don't do business over the phone this way. I'm going to hang up. I will be happy to look up your legitimate number and call you back. And that's what we suggest doing. The other scary thing with the grandparent scam is, and I tell individuals to be careful on social media. What are you sharing? Are you sharing a video clip of your grandson that just got his diploma? And what do you put and post on social media? My grandson, Jake, here he is. He just got his diploma. We're so happy. Congratulations, Jake. And there's a video clip of Jake with his voice saying, look, Grandma, I did it. Here it is, my diploma. Now, with artificial intelligence, these scammers can go out on social media. They can get your grandson's name. They can get the voice. And now maybe you would really believe that it is Jake. They've spoofed the number. He's at the Columbus Police Station. So all these tactics, unfortunately, are they're very good at what they do. They want your money. That's their job to get. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do whatever they can to get that money. So we do see the grandparent scam, as I said, imposter scam, pretending you're someone else. The IRS scam was a big one when I started this job about 13 years ago, where individuals all over the state of Ohio were getting phone calls. This is the IRS and you owe back taxes. And if you don't pay immediately, we're going to come and arrest you. It would scare. Wow. Another tactic is the scare tactics. Immediately, you need to do this, that, or the other, or you're in trouble. So yeah, unfortunately, all of these tactics these scammers use just are really invoking all of our emotions that we have, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, you brought up AI because I was going to ask about that, but I never even thought that they would go to that extent to be able to go to social media. I mean, it makes sense, perfect sense once you explain it, but the fact that they can get voice prints off of it, that's scary. I mean, that's really scary.
Yeah. So I tell my audiences, please make sure if you're on social media, you know what your settings are set at. Can anyone see what you're posting, or only the friends you've accepted can see that? Because what else are scammers going to do? They're out there on social media. They're looking to see what information you've provided on social media. And they have nothing better to do but go out on social media and see these open accounts and get as much information as they can.
Wow. All right. So family members, I mean, what can family members do to help protect their loved ones? You know, their mom, their dad, their brothers, their sisters. We have seen situations where the kids, the sons, one in particular, and this is years ago, right after COVID, where the sons were able to get involved once we saw kind of what was going on, and they were able to protect their dad, if you will. But that seems like that is such a rare occurrence to be able to catch it in the process and protect them to a certain degree. So what can family members do to help safeguard their family members?
Well, first of all, as far as like even back to the grandparent scam, I would say establish a code word. Maybe it's when next time you gather with your family members, have a discussion, come up with that code word that you're going to establish. It could be maybe an uncle who never went by his real name and he's always gone by a nickname and no one else would know that. Maybe it's a big vacation someone in the family is getting ready to take. But whatever it is, establish that code word within your family so you can confirm who's calling and who you're talking to. Then we suggest confirming with family. So if you get a call from your grandson, your granddaughter, or your someone else, call your grandson, your granddaughter, and confirm, did you really get in an accident? Could this really be you? The other thing that I would suggest with family members is just connect with them. Stay in contact with them. I had an event in Tiffin, Ohio, several months ago, and a woman was currently being scammed. And she had already lost $800 with the gift card, but she thought she had won through a sweepstakes $1 million. And the scammers, the whole morning, was trying to pull money out of her account because she gave them her account number, obviously, so they could deposit that $1 million into her account. And I stayed and talked to this woman. She was so embarrassed and she was told not to tell anyone. So she contacted her son. They went to the bank and they shut down her account and got a new account. So mainly, you know, these scammers will take as much time as they need to develop relationships with them. And that's what they want to do. So if family members can stay connected to your family, that's number one and most important as well. And again, just staying educated.
So, you know, you're talking about staying connected and these scammers build relationships. We've seen an uptick in, I don't know what to call them other than love or romance scams. I don't know what the real terminology would be, but do you see that much at all in as far as romance scams? And it's really not just towards women. It seems like it's equal to you know, both sides of the equation.
Yeah. So romance scams are still out there. All the scams really just kind of ebb and flow. They'll add new nuances or different things to make it seem fresh and new. My old neighbor, her mother was divorced at a later time in life, and she had poor health, so she couldn't get out and about very often. And unfortunately, when she passed away, my neighbor and their siblings discovered that she had been scammed out of over $100,000. What happens is these scammers, they'll communicate with individuals. You know, a lot of times seniors are lonely, they're isolated, they don't have many friends. This woman was older and was divorced later in life. So if anyone's paying attention, they want that. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but they'll take their time and energy to develop that relationship to get in there with someone. The biggest tip that I tell people on the romance scam. So let's say, for example, you meet someone online. Mm-hmm. The difference between someone real and someone that's a scammer is if it's someone real, you will meet them in person fairly soon. If they're not, they're going to come up with every reason in the book to stall. Well, unfortunately, my vehicle had, you know, broke down. If only I had enough money, you know, I've just been really tight financially lately to get that fixed. We could meet sooner. These are all the other tactics, you know, trying to get that money so that they can meet after they've developed this relationship with someone.
Golly, you know, if these folks put as much time into helping other people in society, what a great place we would, you know, be living in for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
I know it's out there, but some of the things that you're describing, it's heartbreaking. Unbelievable. You know, one of the things, so my dad kind of got caught up in this clickbait. So, you know, where he clicked on a link and all of a sudden his computer crashed and it said to call this number, and he gave him access to his computer. So they were actually able to go in and take a look around. But thank goodness, you know, we had everything protected, so he didn't have any account numbers, but they were looking, they were searching, they told him to log on to his bank account. And he said he didn't have online access. And then we found out that that's really more prevalent than, you know, what we even know. We've actually had some friends and their parents actually have the same situation here with just in the last year.
Yeah. So that is the computer repair scam. And again, when I started this job 13 years ago, that scam was really big. Because think about it, how many individuals, even in the United States, not even just in Ohio, have a computer? Mm-hmm. We're carrying a computer around with our smartphone.
I was going to say, Everyone talks on these computers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is 10 times stronger than what launched the, you know, the first space shuttle, I think.
Exactly. Right? So what are the odds that someone, when I call them, and unfortunately, my mother-in-law was a victim of this. And so, you know, she was on social media. When she retired, she decided to get a laptop to stay connected to my husband and I. We lived several hours from them. And when she got this laptop, let's just say she wasn't all that technologically savvy. So when she got that call from Microsoft saying she had a virus, she more than happily gave them the information off the back. She lost $150. Luckily, that's all she lost.
Wow.
But now what we're seeing is they've switched this scam just a little bit, and you could be working, you could click on a link, and then you get a pop-up and it says, warning, you have a virus, click on your antivirus program immediately to run any antivirus protections. And it's a pop-up and it's malware and it's will put and it's fake, and then you get stuck, and then your computer can get taken hostage. Then you have to call back the scammer to get the computer released. I mean, it's just really unfortunate. So what I'm going to discuss in further detail, we're going to go through making sure that the address of where you're going is accurate and it's secure. We're going to talk about those tips. So when you go to the URL or the address of wherever you're going on your computer, you want to make sure there's an HTTPS. And that S means that site is secure.
Oh,
you
really?
Also could maybe see padlock or a green bar around the browser. Those are also indications that it's a secure website. So those are some tips and things that I will be discussing as well to make sure the address is correct. Make sure that there's no, and these scammers use just the slightest of differences in websites. So, you know, the Ohio Jobs and Family Services was hacked several winters ago, where individuals were getting notices that they filed unemployment benefits. And I don't know if you got that.
I got one. I filed for unemployment. I was like, I didn't even realize I was unemployed.
Right. That was a big scam. And they also duplicated ODJFS's website. And we looked into that a little deeper. And this is how sophisticated it was. It was a Russian server and a Chinese domain that created the website. It looked exactly like ODJFS. You had to put your social security number here. It had a cardinal, which is the mascot of Ohio, and it looked exactly like it. The difference was, instead of a dash or .com, it was a .com. Little nuances that are different that takes you somewhere completely different. You have to make sure you're looking at the address of the URL.
That's yeah. Cool. So, you know, you're talking about Russia and China, and you know, you've got bad actors, you know, on the international stage. I mean, are you seeing more just lone wolves, or are you seeing like almost like bot farms, you know, huge areas where, you know, you've got multiple dialers, you know, doing these scams? Or is there any way to even know one way or the other?
It's really hard to know one way or another. I do tell audiences, you know, in other countries that, you know, maybe third world countries, there are these scam outfits. And these individuals are trying to provide for their family. And they kind of get taken hostage. And we've seen in different countries where they're in deplorable situations and made to just reach out and get information and scam all day long. So we see that. We also see where bad actors locally will see how these other scams are taking off, and then they'll decide to get in on the, you know, money or the scam itself. I've worked with the Dayton. We work with different law enforcement agencies, and I was working with Dayton for an event years ago, and this was when the IRS scam was real big, and they were calling all the numbers. And they said that locally then these bad actors decided that they were going to get a van, and then they'd go house to house and they'd knock on the door and they'd say, we're here to collect, you owe back taxes, and if you don't pay, we're going to put you in this van and take you and arrest you. So again, it's just so widespread. Greed is out there and people want in on it.
All right. So you're collaborating with, you know, local law enforcement officials and, you know, municipalities. How about on the federal level? Do you have anything where you've actually been able to take legal action and against some of these scammers that have been targeting seniors or anyone in general? Or is it just so hard to?
So what we try to tell individuals is, as soon as you get scammed, however the method, you should report it. IA3 or IAC, it'll be in the publications that I hand out on Thursday, different places that you can reach out to. As far as cryptocurrency goes, Bureau of Criminal Investigation, which is part of the Attorney General's office, has a Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency unit. The sooner you can file that report or report any funds missing, the better off you are. However, it's very hard to find these bad actors in other countries who all the methods that they use are untraceable for a reason. You know, as far as if you've been told to go to a Bitcoin machine and you put Bitcoin and you put money in there, you've got about 24 hours to report that before. And maybe, you know, there have been successes and there's been others where we have to say, I'm sorry, but we cannot trace them. We can't track who's scammed you and where your money has gone. I had a senior this year. I was at senior living facility, which is typically a lot of times where we go out to give these presentations, and a very well-dressed individual, older male, came a little early. He started talking to me about how he had been scammed and told me a little bit about his story. And I got an email the next day from his daughter-in-law. And here he is about to get evicted from this senior facility because he knows he's being scammed, but he's continually being scammed. He's lost over $1 million so far.
Oh, my gosh.
And they cannot talk him into the fact that this person that's calling you is not your attorney. But it's really hard because emotions play in. You know, he's lost his spouse of however many years, you know, a few months ago. So he's lonely. This person calls him and communicates with him. And you can only do so much to tell people it's a scam, quit sending money. And it's also hard to find where that money goes because they know how to skirt jurisdiction.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's heartbreaking. I mean, mm-hmm. It really, really is. I mean, it sounds like all these bad actors are international, overseas, nothing local. I mean, have any success, any, I hate to say wins, there's really no win, but any success in prosecuting anybody locally?
I don't have any examples off the top of my head recently, but of course we have our economic crimes unit who goes after individuals, bad actors, bad contractors out there that ask for large sums of money up front before doing work. And then many times they'll just take that, say it's for, you know, materials before starting a job, and then they take off. So yes, we have had successes as far as locally through different departments and venues. I just can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, sorry. That was kind of unfair to ask that. But I'm glad that there's wins because, you know, you talk about contractors, you know, obviously they're here, they're in person, and not all of them, but, you know, you've got a couple that do those types of things. And so it's nice to know that we're able to kind of curtail that a little bit and hold them accountable, you know, and it's got to be a rare occurrence to be able to catch them because that's just, well, all right. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the education. I mean, obviously, you're coming here on Thursday. You speak around the state. There's three of you that do this. I think there probably should be 30. So do communities like whether it's Westerville, Worthington, Columbus, wherever, Upper Arlington, Dublin, I mean, do any of these communities hold different events to like for awareness for seniors?
Yeah, absolutely. So we go to all those different communities, so different libraries will have us come during the day. Companies like your company, investment firms. I just was at one last Wednesday evening in Tiffin, Ohio. So we're out there trying to help individuals. And I'll go through a little bit about identity theft protection as well this Thursday evening with your audience. You said, how can family members help or what can family do? Make sure that you have frozen your credit. That is a big way to help fight against identity theft. And I'll go into all of those protections on Thursday. But it basically, everyone gets one free credit report and then also run your credit reports. Mm-hmm. And you can do that weekly through Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax without affecting your credit score. And they changed that from yearly to weekly during COVID. And there's different techniques that we can do to protect our information, our identity, freezing your credit. That's one thing I suggest everyone should do. And all that does is protects somebody from stealing your identity and making false charges in your name.
You know, technology, not only does it help bad actors, but we can actually use it to protect ourselves and our parents, our grandparents, our loved ones.
Absolutely.
We just need to figure out how to use those tools. And that's a big deal for me because I struggle with email, right?
Yes. And there's also all kinds of different things you can sign up for. Knowing what mail's coming into your mailbox, you can sign up for the U.S. Postal Service to get an email every day and a picture of all of your mail coming. It's very important. You should know when your mail's coming and when your bills are due. I also talk about how you should, if you're still writing checks, you should take it to a locked mailbox at the post office. Unfortunately, there are local bad actors, like in Gahanna, where individuals were going and stealing mail out of the locked mailboxes.
Really?
And then they would grab checks and they would wash them. So getting the chemicals to wash checks and change the checks, they don't even have to do that anymore. With Photoshop, all they have to do is take a picture of the check, put it through Photoshop, and change it to whatever they want. So make sure when writing checks, you don't just take it to your mailbox. You actually take it into the post office in a locked mailbox.
It's that easy?
It's that easy.
Really?
Yeah. Photoshop.
That's scary. I mean, yeah. That is really, really scary. And that was here in Gahanna. Is that recent? Is that kind of like over the last?
Where I've been, and as much as I travel, and I also schedule for all three of us educators, it's hard to remember. But I was working with local law enforcement in Gahanna, and they were saying that there was an uptick, and they were suggesting that. I also have attended fraud conferences where I learn about the dark web and how scary that place is and how easy our information is sold on the dark web.
So that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. So the dark web, you know, when they steal data from agencies and businesses alike, right, all the way across the board, is all that stuff, is it just readily available or is it just up for purchase on the dark web? I guess that's the scary part, which is why you would have to lock your credit. So that they can't steal your identity, right?
My purse and wallet got stolen many, many years ago out of my vehicle because I had the back windows down. I was just going to run in, drop my kids off for school real quick and come back. Of course, came back, purse was gone. All of my information. So it's so important too, if any of your information has been compromised, you want to do that as well to protect yourself. But yeah, unfortunately, the dark web and, you know, individuals like you and me can't just figure out where to go for the dark web, but criminals can. And it's kind of like Amazon. When I went to this fraud conference and sat through this speech, this gentleman said that they had done research and there's typically three different things you can buy on the dark web. You can buy weapons, drugs, and personal identifying information. Personal identifying information was number one. You can go out to the dark web and you can purchase someone's credit card for $20. You can purchase someone's social security number and card for $30. It's really that easy to do for criminals. That's
unbelievable. So when you were talking about your purse and wallet being stolen, I was smiling. My wife is going to shoot me for this, but same, very similar, right? She was, went in to pick up the kids from daycare. This is way back when. And we had dogs in the car. Those labs, they're great. They just licked those people to death. They stole, reached in, grabbed the purse. And literally within less than 30 minutes, this is back when Tuttle Mall was, right? It was an actual mall. And they ran up those credit cards. Thousands and thousands of dollars in 30 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know.
So that kind of, it brought a smile to my face, not because I was happy, but it's like, it's common. It can happen to anyone.
And it can happen to anyone.
The window was barely open so that you could even stick your hand in there.
Right.
Yeah. It's shocking.
And it's sad. It's really sad to know that. You really have to be aware. And that's what I tell people, because they'll also reach out after I'm done. I get the question of, well, what about LifeLock and paying for someone to protect my information? Well,
I was just going to ask you about that, too. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to give many tools to everyone on what they can do on their own that doesn't cost money monthly. Now, I will say monitoring the dark web, we can't do. Individually, that gives someone peace of mind. They may want to do that. I can't endorse any businesses because of working at the Attorney General's office. However, that's something individually that you have to. But, I'm going to talk about making sure you look at your bank statements and credit card statements. And I'm going to give a lot of different things, freezing your credit, running your credit report, all the things to try to protect yourself. Knowing how to look at an email to know if it's fraudulent or not. We're going to go through that Thursday. So there's a lot of tips and tricks that we can do to protect ourselves and not have to pay anyone And that's what we really have to do, is our due diligence to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. All right. So here is the last question. And when I told people that I was going to be talking to you and that you were going to be coming in on Thursday, it was like, okay, you were unbelievably popular. I got so many questions. Hey, this is the, can you ask her this? Can you ask her this? And it was the same thing. It wasn't the life lock. I'm going to say, is it title lock or home lock, where you can lock your title up so that people don't steal your home? Is that the only option, or are there other things that people can do to protect their homes? And is that something that's as prevalent as they make it out to be on TV? Because that was the number one question that everyone had for me.
This is a popular thing, and everyone's afraid they're going to lose their home and their title's going to be taken out from under them. Unfortunately, Ohio is an open record state, and I do tell individuals that. Our information is fairly widely available, but there are things you can do. For instance, you can go to the county recorder's office and you can put in that you want a notification if anybody hits on any of your information. And again, it's similar to the United States Postal Service, knowing your mail's coming, knowing what you're getting that day. This is just another thing that you can do to kind of protect yourself as well, is going to that county recorder's office. You say that you want any alerts if somebody hits on your title, your home information. You can put your email in there, and then if that happens, you will get a notification through email.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Sometimes with these scams, like that one in particular, scammers are just trying to scare you. It's not necessarily true. It could be true, but and it's not necessarily true, but they want to scare you into thinking that they're going to take your home and they got your title. So they'll start asking you for personal identifying information, different things, which we call phishing. You know, they're phishing for as much information as you're going to give them because you're scared.
Wow. All right. So let me ask you this. Have you seen where people have lost the title to their home, or they've, you know, mortgages on their home that they didn't know about? Is it as popular as they make it seem to be, especially in Ohio, because it's an open record state? Or is it more of an advertising thing, or is it somewhere in between?
I have not personally been told that someone lost their title when I've gone out to audiences. I'm not sure that that has happened, that, you know, you'd have to look at the different complaints that have been filed, or with our office, which, you know, they're public record. So that's what I also tell people, is to do your due diligence. And if you're going to do business with a business, reach out to our office, find out how many complaints have been filed against that business. So I can't really answer that question. I have not personally seen where in an audience where I'm speaking that someone has lost their title, but I do get a lot of people who are scared that they're going to lose their title. And again, it could just be a scare tactic that these scammers want to get other information or money.
Yeah. Well, Danielle, I really appreciate it. I know that you're on a tight time schedule. Thank you. I know you're coming in on Thursday. So being able to do this so that we can get out to all the folks who can't come, and I think it's just really good for the general public to be able to hear this. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
You tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance. Because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with the Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into five simple steps. It's the Retirement Fitness Plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the Retirement Fitness Plan at EGSIfinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-0619.